Sunday, you ready to do a podcast? Hello.
Hello. Sorry. Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, and the tiny individual with the hiccups next to me is Sunday, my baby girl. She's going to be joining me today as a guest on the podcast. We're going to do straight news. We're going to run right through whatever seems interesting to me for the month of August. What's going on in the news? I don't know. July, there was a lot of stuff. I bitched about Miss Rachel. It's not even the Gaza thing. I don't care about that. It's more just like I think she is creepy and bodes ill of the future of parenting in general. It's just like brain rot for babies. There's the Hunter Biden interview on Channel 5. That was July, right? The media economy is just becoming just drivel and distraction and tabloid news. All the real news is getting behind a paywall, basically, which sucks because essentially I don't like that. I wish we could just, why don't we do an internet thing where we do the equivalent of just buying a newspaper, not a newspaper subscription, just the newspaper. Why can't we do that? If you want to get a newspaper now, you got to go to a library, I guess. That's something. But anyway, Sunday can't even read. So I guess I'm kind of flexing my privilege here in front of this baby. But she is getting ready for a nap. So I'm just going to jiggle her while she stares at this fake plant behind me and looks around and stares at me agog because she doesn't understand why I'm talking into this boomstick right now. And hopefully she'll just fall asleep. And if not, maybe she'll weigh in on what's going on in the news. So anyway, let's see. First thing up, Eric Adams. So a bunch of fraudulent signatures were discovered. Yeah, see? Sunday surprised. Bonus signatures of support for political campaigns, quote-unquote, part of the business. And that's Mayor Adams himself. That's a direct quote in response to the discovery of forged and fraudulently obtained signatures on petitions that his campaign submitted to get on the ballot for re-election. He said on Friday that this is part of the business. I don't know what the fuck he meant by that. Is this the part? I mean, listen, that's a little on the nose, right? Are we just saying what politicians do that we know they do, but they say they don't do because of rules of, you know, social propriety and just trying to at least pretend that you have some semblance of human decency? Sunday hates politics, but I just can't stop. She definitely has better comedic timing than me, though. So basically, everyone knows, this is Adams, right? Everyone knows that petitioning is well aware that you even have some of your opponents who come and do tricks, you know, to try to sabotage your campaign. They would put dead people's names on. They would do all of these tricks. Everyone knows that, Adams said. Who's everyone? I don't know. First of all, most people don't even follow politics enough. Adams just, you know, the thing about politicians is that they just assume that everybody knows about politics. Like everybody's got time for that bullshit. The only people that have time for politics are politicians because it's your fucking job, right? I'm not going to weigh in suddenly. Like, I'm not going to just act like I know everything about running the MTA, right? That's not my job. So for somebody from the MTA to make a public statement assuming everybody knows the ins and outs of running the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York City is, let's say, a little presumptuous and at best. And borderline retarded at worst. So, let's see. He's basically saying that everybody knows this. I'm not sure if he's saying that his opponents came and put these fake names on the petitions or not. Maybe he's trying to say that. So he's basically putting the blame on his opponents. And who are his opponents? What's that guy's name? Mama Dami, whatever that guy's name is, the halal guy. That's what I'm going to call him. Halal guy, who seems to be public enemy number one for both his own party and the opposing party. Rich people don't like that guy, obviously, because he said the thing about like public grocery stores and everything. So I don't know. I mean, isn't that kind of a dig at that guy? If anything, he's trying to say that Mama Lama is trying to pull some tricks on him. like I said, tricks. Spoken like a true ex-New York cop. Tricks. Tricks for a cop. It's like, whether it's a prostitute turning tricks or people playing dirty tricks, it's all tricks, you know? It's tricks. And I'm a gumshoe from the 1950s. And I don't like these tricks that everybody's trying to pull on me. Hooker's trying to blow me. Guy's trying to put one over on me. All these goddamn tricks. City's full of tricksters. And I'm a trick stamper outer. That's my job. Detective Eric Adams at your service. I don't even need to have a black and white black and white what do you call it? Shit. The word for black and white. Damn. Well, I fucked up that joke because I forgot the word for filter. There you go. I don't need a black and white filter because I am black and I work with whites. Detective Eric Adams at your service. Fighting tricksters. Tricksters. Silly. Silly tricksters. Silly, silly rabbit. Don't you know tricks are for kids? That's Eric Adams when he was still a cop. All right. That went absolutely nowhere. But he's just saying a bunch of bullshit. None of this is surprising to me. Eric Adams is like he's like an Albany insider. He's with people from Albany. Albany is like basically like being a Washington insider, but for New York. It's just lame. And so, you know, corruption is kind of part of the deal with this kind of person from New York. More than 50 people said their signatures were forged, living people, or that they were misled into signing a petition they did not know was for Adams. Yeah, okay. I mean, that was Adams's own campaign. That smells of Albany insider. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get these people who are New Yorkers. New Yorkers have no compunction. They have no ethics. They're feckless. New Yorkers are feckless because we just want to get ahead more than anything else. We don't give a fuck. And too cynical to even think that something like some rules of engagement should even exist, right? We got Tammany Hall in our history. We got, you know, if you read the story of how New York City unions reformed, you would not be surprised at any of this. I mean, this is pretty bland, actually. This is very light on what shit, the dirty shit that does happen. The tricks that get pulled in New York can go way worse than that. Yeah, whatever. I did go with a friend of mine. She was getting a petition signed for some guy that she was working for, and he was like some district in the Bronx. I forgot what it was, but she believed in him. She thought he was really great, and she was working for his campaign. And I went along with her. I went on a ride on a petition signing ride along, basically. And she was a real go-getter. She wanted to be in politics. I think she works for the UN now or something. Some kind of like NGO or like adjacent organization to the United Nations and things like that, some kind of think tank maybe, whatever. So she was going to sign petitions, and she's a real go-getter, right? She's assertive, she's aggressive, she wants this campaign to work. So what you do is you go to these areas in the Bronx with people who are just nothing. They're doing nothing, especially nothing political. They're in their homes just like listening to Isaac Hayes, you know, because they're just kind of like washed up civil rights activists who just can only afford a rent controlled apartment in like a shitty area of the Bronx. And they've just been kind of living in the past for decades, just picking lint out of their belly buttons and just sitting in their moldy living rooms, just playing things on their tape player because they probably still have a tape player. They're in their dirty socks and, you know, their bedhead. And they just get a knock on the door by this young upstart Dominican girl. And she literally puts a foot in the door before the person can close the door back again. And, hey, you want to go? It's good. And then she just chats them up. And, you know, that's it. And they just sign because she's friendly, or they sign because they're intimidated by her because Dominicans are scary. Sometimes Dominican chicks, and because they look dangerous, because they're so ambitious that it's scary to an American, the level of hustle that a Dominican chick is capable of. So they just sign it. They smile or they frown, but they sign it. She gets them to sign. So that's kind of like a gray area. It's not a fake signature, but it's kind of a bullied into signature. These people aren't going out of their way. They don't give a shit about that guy. If the guy even gets elected, they wouldn't even remember or associate their signature with that guy. So, but they do get enthusiastic about campaigns. The Bronx is, you know, people in the Bronx, they like to be in the mix. They like it when things are happening. It doesn't even matter if it's a really bad thing or a really good thing. People from the Bronx will be ecstatic if it's a parade or a shootout. They will run to it and bring popcorn and just munch on it while they just watch it all unfold. Or there's just some domestic violence incident in the Bronx. People will show up to that. They'll act like they're not, but they'll walk by and kind of be like, whoa, you know. But you never get involved because that's kind of a rule or a rule of thumb in the Bronx is like you don't get involved in a domestic dispute that's in public because if you try, they're both going to beat you up. That tends to be what happens. You try to like hit the guy or get in his face, the woman will like clothesline you for getting in her man's face and disrespecting him. And that's kind of the Bronx in a nutshell. Love it or hate it. Love to hate it. More like love to hate it. That's how I feel. And that's how most people in the Bronx feel. So anyway, this is kind of Eric Adams news story. It's just me kind of pointing out what I've been saying from the beginning, which is the guy is corrupt. Always has been. Always. I've said it since before he got elected and the whole probe into his, corruption charges happened with the guy from Turkey or whatever. And, you know, it's just, this is really to be expected. Anyway, next in the news, we got gate recognition technology. It's the new frontier in surveillance technology and could eventually be accurate enough to identify you based on your walk. Gee, isn't that fun? The future more and more seems like you'd be better off dead. A new bill in the city council would protect the way you walk the same way the city guards information about tax records and your fingerprints. That's actually good news. Wow. I surprised myself by picking some actual hopeful news. So, okay, let's look into this. So surveillance tech could identify your walk. So far, I mean, they're going to be able to just have a avatar of you in real time in a simulated environment whenever they want. They'll just be able to, they could just kind of render 3D Google Maps and then have everyone in it walking the way they walk. And not only that, looking the way they look because you got facial recognition technology. And then on top of that, you got a bunch of people stupid enough to use ChatGPT in personal ways, telling it their dreams, their thoughts, trying to use it as a psychiatrist, as a best friend, as a date, as a love interest, as something to jerk off to. So they can also estimate what you're probably thinking about. No way that's going to go wrong, right? Once McDonald's gets a hold of that technology, they're going to be able to just know exactly what to sell you at any time, right? They'll know that you're thinking about your divorce, and maybe they'll even have proprietary ownership over certain kinds of emotions that lead to like a increased likelihood of you buying a hamburger or something like that, or nuggets, chicken McNuggets. You're walking around and McDonald's has a proprietary ownership over chicken McNuggets, and it just so happens that divorce rates and chicken McNuggets consumption coincide, so they just buy that. Or they just use that, and every time you're probably thinking of divorce, they'll know based on how you're walking and how your face is plastered on your head. And then an ad for chicken McNuggets will just pop up somewhere, and you'll go for it. You'll be more likely to eat it. Isn't that great? Just like a fucking herd of sheep at this point. Anyway, lucky for us, we have a savior, apparently. A New York City council member wants to protect information about the way you walk, the same way the city guards information about tax records and your fingerprints. Council member Jennifer Gutierrez has introduced a bill that would include gait patterns in what the city considers personal identifying and private information. I mean, we definitely got to expand that definition. I mean, at this point, you know, when you go on OnlyFans, not that I don't have an OnlyFans account, in case you're wondering. It's just that I had a a partnership with OnlyFans at one point, and I tried it out. And I didn't show tits or puss or butthole or anything. It just, you know, I don't know. I barely used it. It was too overwhelming. People just want you to... I just got a bunch of dick pics. And then you can't get mad about dick pics on OnlyFans because you're literally there for that. So it was really weird. Yeah. But you go on OnlyFans, you can make an avatar of yourself, basically, that people can jerk off to. So I don't know, man. Your avatar should have the same constitutional rights as a person. That's what they should do. I've heard that before. So constitutional rights for internet avatars. We got to get that, man. A part of you that never existed now exists because of the internet, right? Like an extension of you, another limb, basically. It's like you grew a third arm, but it doesn't have any rights because it's not covered in the Constitution. So people are just taking it, using it, jerking off with it, sticking it in things, making it scoop up peanut butter when you don't want it to. And you have no rights. You can't sue. You can't have anybody put under arrest because, you know, your arm has, that third arm has no rights. And that's the you that's on the internet. Your avatar has no rights. And it's actually revealing more about you than you think it does. Now it's like your gait, the way you walk, the way you think and feel, the way you look on a given day, right? Let's say you forgot some mascara and it just identifies that because it compares some photo of you with or without it and then just tries to harass you with mascara ads. It's going to be, the future's going to be so the future's going to be obnoxious. That's so far is what it looks like. That's what I hate about it. Ugh. Experts who spoke to Gothamist, because I'm getting that from Gothamist, said the bill would set important limits on the ways the city collects information. If passed, the city would join other states and the European Union in protecting data about the way people walk. It seems like nothing, but I feel like it's a big deal. Because we're being watched, man. You're being watched always. I'm being watched by a baby. Oh, actually, no, she fell asleep. Man, I'm fucking crushing it at momming. I'm crushing it. I'm doing a podcast. I'm holding a baby. I can't feel my arm. I can have it all, right? Anyway, let's see how that goes, how that develops. There's really nothing you can say about it until we know what, you know, is our avatar going to just be some surf online? Some small... 3/4 of us is gonna, like 1/4 of us is gonna be on the internet and it's gonna be a surf, and then the rest of us is gonna be, you know, free in the real world, but not free because we're tied to this thing, this avatar of ourselves. That doesn't seem like fun. Anyway, next on the news, President Trump called Charlemagne the God a quote-unquote dope for criticizing his Medicaid cuts and using God in his stage moniker. I mean, is he just getting around to Charlemagne the God? He's probably just mad because he didn't have him on his podcast. President Donald Trump on Sunday lashed out at radio host Charlemagne the God, saying in a social media post that the popular broadcaster knows nothing about me or what I have done. I don't think that's true, actually. I mean, Charlemagne the God does know because he has talked about it. You may or may not agree with what he thinks about it, but he does know. He's made it his business to talk about it. Trump's comments came out a day after Charlemagne, this is a Politico article, by the way, whose given name is Leonard McKelvey. Oh, wow. Is that Charlemagne the God's name is Leonard? That's cute. McKelvey. Oh, Irish. Okay. Irish. But he's black. Well, you do the math. I'm not gonna. And it's Leonard with just an E. Leonard, which kind of makes it sound more Irish. Is he actually Irish? I know that's a dumb question. I'm asking it on purpose. Leonard criticized Trump on a Fox News show hosted by Laura Trump. Oh, interesting. the president's daughter-in-law and former co-chair of the Republican National Committee. No Nepo baby stuff here.
Nothing to see here.
Dude, these fucking Nepo babies are really pissing me off. We're basically, I mean, isn't this kind of starting to be an aristocracy in the sense of, like, not the aristocracy of people who excel at things and therefore earn through, not through like morally upright criteria, by the way. I'm just saying, like, they're just good at whatever it takes in a particular society to get ahead, and they earn it in that sense, right? And so they earn their way into, like, an elite position. And these are the children of those people. And now they're just running shit and acting like they actually got there through their own. I mean, they don't even act like it. They kind of don't give a shit. Asked how he would rate Trump's presidency, Leonard said, "I wouldn't give it a good rating simply because the least of us are still being impacted the worst." Yeah. The least of us are always being impacted the worst, if he means what I think he means. The least of us will always be impacted the worst. In fact, I think it's been, like, human history that that's been the case. All you can do is maybe have it impact less or more. And even then, do you even know that you did that? Or maybe you were just lucky. You guessed the right thing. I mean, who the fuck knows? So Trump said Leonard's a dope because he voted for Kamala Harris. Charlemagne said he will personally benefit from tax breaks, but said there's going to be so many people that's hurt by that bill. Mm-hmm. Anything that takes away Medicaid from people and will put people in a worse financial situation than they were previously in, I'm not for. How good of him. Leonard also predicted that traditional conservatives are going to take back the Republican Party from Trump's Make America Great Again movement. I mean, I agree with that, but only because they're only using him to make the Republican Party relevant again. That's why they're willing to throw away this history of, like, Reaganite Republicans and all these other kind of Republicans to just be a Trump Republican, because he was the first hope that they've had in decades of actually having some semblance of being a relevant party again. They think that he makes them cool again, but they're wrong. And they think that because they are Republicans, and Republicans are goobers. The thing about Republican goobers, though, is that they're nerds. They're kind of like, they're just very organized. They tend to be organized people, which are goobers. They're very, very, very correct. They're always crossing the T's, dotting the I's kind of people, right? Pocket protector. They starch the collars. Like, they do it. But they're terrible at being cool. They just can't do it. You can't be a traditionalist and be cool. I mean, that's kind of the antithesis, but they keep trying. Sort of. I mean, I read a book called The Power Elite, which kind of fell apart at the end, but was actually really good in the beginning. And the guy was just describing, C. Wright Mills is the author. He was just describing this situation that we have in America. And like, an interesting fact is, you know, we never had an aristocracy here. And that has made a huge difference in the way our conservatives and our liberals developed. So in a weird way, you may think that what's happening with the Republican Party, with MAGA and all that stuff, is some anomaly. But it seems like, based on what he said, and this was in 1950s America, because we don't have an aristocracy, traditionalists actually managed to rally together enough social currency every once in a while, once in a blue, to actually be not progressive, right, but edgy. And when you're edgy, you're cool. So every couple decades, they managed to, because we don't have an aristocracy to point to and be like, ew, right? With it, you can always, as a conservative, look at, you know, criticize progressivism and say, like, you know, fuck this, because what's really cool is if, like, you buck this trend and actually don't do it, say to hell with that. And that becomes cool all of a sudden. Does that make sense? It can't make sense because it barely makes sense in my head, but I'll come back around to that and say it better next time. Who the fuck knows? You know, maybe I'll fall off a cliff tomorrow. Who the hell knows? But anyway, yeah, I think he's right about that. I think the Republican Party will eventually attempt to get away from Trump again once they've basically ridden his coattails into the White House, which they have done. And once they milk all of that that they can from that movement, the MAGA movement, then they're going to try to pull something. Because it's not sustainable even. Unless Trump was like a robot and immortal, you can't just rely on Trump forever with the Republican Party to stay keep it relevant. But anyway, Trump on social media called Charlemagne, a.k.a. Leonard, a racist sleazebag and criticized his use of God in his professional nickname. Well, I mean, the thing about Trump is that he does call people out on... He kind of tends to define people in a way that's not really wrong. Charlemagne is a racist sleazebag, but he's our racist sleazebag. And a lot of people like him. And they like him for being a racist sleazebag because he's a radio show host. And you got to be something interesting or you're not interesting. And even though he is a racist sleazebag, that's not his only defining feature. He's a lot of other things and not all those things are bad, actually. And that's kind of the thing about racist sleazebags is that you can't, or anybody who has any bad traits, that's not all they are, unfortunately. So it makes it harder for you to understand what to do in life. And that's, you just kind of have to exist with them and figure it out for yourself, how you want to see the world and what that means for you. That's what I believe. Those are my believies. Anyway, Trump's like, can anyone imagine the uproar there would be if I used that nickname? I mean, it seems like he's asking that because he kind of liked the idea of using the word God in his professional nickname. God Trump. Kind of has a Dune feeling to it. Charlemagne told Laura Trump that his criticism of the Republican president was not new. Yeah, that's what I said. Adding that he gave President Biden the same hell he did when he didn't think the Democrat was doing a good job. Yeah, Charlemagne is that's the thing. It's like, I actually do think he's a racist sleazebag. So, right? It's freedom of speech here. But I think he does have a few astute observations. He makes astute observations. He calls things as he sees them, which is something that's always welcome, I think, for me, refreshing. And you know, it's always, he's a media personality, right? He's going to say shit. He's going to see what sticks and he's going to go with it. And at least it never seems to me, at least, that whatever he throws at the wall is something that he's just throwing without any conviction. He does throw things at the wall that I think he really does believe and stands behind. And I don't feel the same way about Russell Brand, right? I feel like especially during COVID, I feel like he just threw whatever at the wall because he was seeing what would get him attention more than him having an actual conviction. He doesn't have convictions because his conviction is to not have any. He's a very like woo-woo, you know, fucking keep an open mind till your brain falls out of your asshole kind of guy. So... And I like Russell Brand, too, for different reasons. But, yeah, I'm saying people have their qualities that are good and bad. Anyway, next on the news. Epstein's former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, is transferred to a prison camp in Texas. I just bring this up because I think it's interesting now. All of a sudden, this is just another thing that I think the Trump administration is throwing at people to just distract them from, I don't know, is he on the list? Or it's, I don't even know if he's on the list. I would imagine that he would do this if even just like some friends of his were on the list that he doesn't want to throw under the bus or something, or that it's not in his best interest to do so. The Federal Bureau of Prisons said Friday, this is according to AP News, that Maxwell had been transferred to Bryan, Texas, but did not explain the circumstances. It's because she's going to cut a deal. All these people who were under federal probe, under investigation, convicted in prison, tried, they're all getting off. And that's how you know that this shit was all just a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And now that the dust is settling, right? Everybody's getting off, right? No, Eric Adams' federal probe is gone. Ghislaine Maxwell's going to probably be freed or something, or make a deal. Interesting that she's the only one that got arrested, too, and put in prison. Yeah. Low security prison, even though she's a high profile fucking sex trafficker accused of like pretty intense sex crimes. But yeah, minimum security. Let's put her there. All right. Trump said Friday night that no one has asked him about a clemency for Maxwell. I'm allowed to do it, but it's really hard for me to quote him and not do the Trump voice, but I'm not doing it. I'm allowed to do it, but nobody's asked me to do it, he told Newsmax in an interview broadcast Friday night. I know nothing about it. I don't know anything about the case, but I know that I have the right to do it, okay? I have the right to give pardons. I've given pardons to people before, but nobody's even asked me to do it. Sure, I believe that. Whatever. I don't think they need to ask him. I think that's he's a shrewd businessman, and he knows who to give pardons to. Ugh. Man, what a mess. Let's see. Administration officials have tried to cast themselves as promoting transparency in the case, including by requesting from courts the unsealing of grand jury transcripts. Maxwell, meanwhile, was interviewed at a Florida courthouse over 2 days last week by Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, and the House Oversight Committee had also said that it wanted to speak with Maxwell. Her lawyer said this week that they would be open to an interview, but only if the panel were to ensure immunity from prosecution. Yeah, she's cutting a deal, dude, just like Eric Adams did and all these other assholes. It's, it's clemency for me, not for thee. That's it. Everybody else in the whole fucking country gets put in jail at the drop of a hat, gets their fucking asses beat by the cops everywhere, shot, persecuted. You get shoved through the meat grinder that they call the justice system. You get no justice. You just get a formula for justice at this point, cookie cutter, right? Your lawyer, especially if they're a public funded representative, right? They don't even make eye contact with you, or do they just funnel you through the formula for what you're supposed to get when you do this or that or the other? Whatever the fuck. They don't get paid enough to do more than that. Yeah. What a bag of shit. Let's see. What else on the news? The class divide among women in the workplace is widening. I selected this one. This is an Axios article. The share of women ages 25 to 44 who are employed full-time by education level. Oh, I see. It's dividing based on a college degree and no college degree. College-educated women, particularly mothers, triumphed in the workforce in recent years. For those without a degree, the story is less rosy. Oh, okay. Well, that's good for me. Anyway, moving on from that. I don't care. If it works for me, I don't give a shit. What else? There's growing fallout after President Donald Trump fired Bureau of Labor Statistics Commissioner Erica McEntarfer. Not Irish. A lot of mix. That used to be the slur for Irish people back in the day. Mix. A lot of mix. He did this Friday, just hours after the agency dropped a report that shocked economists. And the jobs readout confirmed that the market is rough, basically. Only 73,000 jobs were added in July, and previous reports for May and June were revised down by a combined 250,000 jobs. Damn. A blow to Trump's narrative that the U.S. economy is booming. The president lashed out on social media, claiming without evidence that McEntarfer rigged the numbers to hurt him. Economists, meanwhile, pointed to other reasons for the slowdown: higher interest rates, workforce cuts, tariffs, and stricter immigration policies that have all put pressure on hiring. Well, you know, but there's also AI, right? There's also like automation and all that kind of stuff, and people are just cutting down. And also, you know, this is the thing about the news, is like they don't really they give you whatever I guess they think of in the moment as they're just kind of typing this out, or maybe they have an ulterior motive, depends on what you think. But there's also, look, there's AI, there's automation, there's also the fact that when the economy was rough but there were no job numbers to show it yet, all these companies were pretending that their companies were doing much better than they were by posting, you know, ghost jobs, which a lot of people finally called out on LinkedIn. and pretending that their companies were growing and doing, like, you know, hiring that they were going to then fire in a couple of years just so that they can gain some, like, marginal profit. And so a part of this is that, I think, is that these companies now are finally just basically shedding the snakeskin, you know, just getting more efficient. They're streamlining by letting go of their workforces now. They can't afford them. Objectively, you know, things are becoming remote, things are becoming automated, jobs offshore are being given to people in other countries because now you can just work remote. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on that has nothing to do with whoever's in the presidential Oval Office. You know, I'm not saying that that is not also a factor, but I'm saying there's just so much going on right now that we're not going to know what the hell's going on until the dust settles. And by then, it's going to be another crop of politicians that are going to fucking get let off and, you know, make deals and get away with murder. Sometimes literally, like with Epstein. Anyway, that's all the time I have for today. Thank you for joining me on the Melissa Diaz Report. I'm Melissa Diaz. This is my baby Sunday. She's sleeping now. And until Thursday, I hope you have a good one. Thanks for listening. See you then. Bye.